Stand by. Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
We're getting you fully ready for the holidays, starting with tech expert Mitch Polsky talking toys for grown-ups this Christmas. We also speak to smart shopper Solmaz Megdaddy about the best deals to look for this time of year. Social media expert Patrick Charles gives us the 411 on Beyoncé's surprise album drop. We also hear from etiquette expert Karen Cleveland about how to host fabulous parties this season. We wrap things up with relationship coach Frank Kermit talking love and the holidays, and fashion stylist Carmel Gahunia gets us ready for 2014.
Capture your need for sound.
We've got the latest on all the hottest tech trends for this holiday season. Our tech expert Mitch Polsky joins us to talk about the best of this year's tech world. Mitch, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thanks, Kelly. How you doing?
Good, good. So here's the thing. You know, holiday season, I find like so many people go running for gadgets. It's like the toys for adults, really, I feel. So what do you think is some of the hot ticket items when it comes to electronics this year?
This year, I've seen a big trend in portable audio, Bluetooth connected devices to your digital device. We've seen a lot of lens add-ons for your smartphone, meaning different lenses, wide-angle lens, fisheye lens, things like that.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of universal remotes. Everyone wants to connect their digital life with their TV and their amplifier and their VCR DVD player.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen a lot of, you know, universal remotes, all-in-one remotes, just to simplify life, make things easy.
Okay.
What else have we seen here? We've seen a lot of extra batteries. Everyone's got a digital device, and the batteries just seem to drop so quickly these days.
Okay.
So one thing we're seeing a big, big, big presence in the market lately are these battery packs that you can hook up your device, and it will add you two or three or four extra charges without having to plug it into the wall. So let's say you're out and about for a weekend, and you're not anywhere near a charger, an outlet. So you would take this little battery pack, it's a few inches long, 2 or 3 inches wide, and you just plug your device into it, and you get a full charge on the go.
Wow. Is that one of those like Mophie things? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there's some of those. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it's along those lines. That's awesome. Yeah, because I know a lot of people complain about their phone draining much quicker than they would like it to. And then you're screwed if you're not anywhere near your car or an outlet to power this thing.
Exactly. It's unbearable sometimes when you need it at the end of the day and it's gone by 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What do you do?
Right. And so are the prices for those fairly decent?
Prices on those run anywhere from $40 to $100. Really depends on the capacity. They come in multiple sizes, but the average one will run you about $40 to $50 these days. Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of cell phones, are there phones right now that you think people are going to get under the Christmas tree or what people should be looking at if they are going to get a phone for someone?
A phone's a really tough gift to give. Everyone has a different need when it comes to mobile technology. You know, people like me, the geeks out there, let's say we want a little bit more than the average user.
Mm-hmm.
So a phone is a very personal choice. You know, so you really have to know your recipient to give them a phone. There's quite a few phones out there right now. So to make that kind of choice for somebody else is a tough call. You know, there's a handful of phones out there right now that are very popular. The Apples, the Samsungs, the LGs. You know, everyone knows the big brand names. And they all the major carriers are all carrying all of these phones. So they're available, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, because you are a tech rock star, what is your take on this whole BlackBerry situation? Because, you know, I think they tried to get things going again with that Z10. Did it work, really? And are they going down the tubes or can they right the ship?
Yeah. Well, that's it. I don't think BlackBerry saw the Z10 and the Q10 take off like they'd really like it to. And since the emergence of the Q30 or the Z30 coming out, and Rogers did not pick it up in Canada, as well as them saying that they were no longer going to continue production and deployment of their Playbook platform, I think the days are numbered for BlackBerry. I think that a lot of the software manufacturers have dropped BlackBerry for Android and Apple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really not seeing the accessories and programs and marketing for BlackBerry that I think they need to continue in the future. So
okay.
I'd say stay away. As pretty as they are, and as much as you love your BBM and fancy little keyboard, there are other phones that have BBM, and there's other phones now that have those pretty tactile keyboards as well. I'd say skip it.
The BBM thing, actually, is that now on an iPhone or something? I thought I saw that. Can you get that on iPhone? And why does it matter if you can text back and forth? Like, I don't even know the BBM. Who cares?
Well, that's kind of how I felt too. BBM is now available on the App Store through Apple.
Okay.
And, you know, it provides a way of secure messaging from end to end. So from user to user, it's all secure. It's going through a server that's secured. You know, iMessage and other services like WhatsApp and Ping and all these other services already have read receipts and delivery receipts. So the whole BBM is kind of overdone. It's done already. It's 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, before other manufacturers had read receipts, it was a novelty. You could see when it was delivered. You can see when your recipient read it,
mm-hmm.
things like that. But today, you don't need that anymore. iMessage has it built in.
Okay. Good to know.
You know,
joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is our tech expert, Mitch Polsky. For more information, you can reach him on his Facebook page, At Home Support. Also, if you are in the Montreal area or in Canada, you can reach him through their phone line, which is 514-291-8766. Can we talk about e-readers for a second there, Mitch? I know a lot of people are into this. I actually love my iPad for reading my John Grisham novels. So so are people really actually getting e-readers, or do they sort of stick with an iPad or like the Playbook or whatever?
That's a big, big, big mark. That's a big category this year. We're seeing a lot of e-readers. They're popping up left, right, and center. I don't think people who want an e-reader are going to get an e-reader. The tablets these days have so much more involved. You know, they have the apps and they have the cameras and this and that. That I think a lot of the average e-reader type people just don't need.
Mm-hmm.
So to get yourself a Kobo, which is specifically designed, or you know, a Kindle Fire, something like that, something that's designed specifically for reading, might be at a better price point. It might be a little bit more designed around what you're looking for. You know, if you're the type of person who kind of gets distracted and who wants a little bit more bang for their buck, let's say, a tablet's just one off. You know, it's you're very close to a tablet at that point. So do I think the e-readers will survive? Yes. Do I think they're going to be humongous? Maybe not. But I think they do still serve a very big segment in the market.
Now, when it comes to tablets versus laptops, what do you think will win this season, like holiday season?
This season, very tough call. Very tough call, because we're seeing the price points on the laptops are coming down. And the price on the tablets aren't yet. Price of the tablets will go anywhere from $175 to $500,
mm-hmm.
and laptops are going anywhere from $350 to $1,000, roughly. You know, you can always spend more if you'd like. You can get
right.
bigger and fancier,
yeah.
but you don't need it. So I think for the average user, a tablet will do. You can get on your Facebook. You can check your emails. You can Skype. You can do your e-reading, you can read your EPUB files, you can play with your apps, everything a laptop can. However, you're missing a little bit of the keyboard and the screen size.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're the type of person who actually does work, or other than just basic word processing and, you know, general Microsoft Office kind of stuff, then you might want to consider a laptop rather.
And what's your take on, like, the MacBook Air and stuff? Like, everyone was sort of excited about that a couple of weeks back.
MacBook Air is a very lightweight, very thin, very quick laptop. It's got no CD-ROM drive, but most computers these days, new computers that you buy, don't come with CD-ROMs anymore. It made
don't?
A lot of hype.
They really? They don't, Mitch? I didn't know that. They don't?
No, not at all.
So how do you burn
HP Envies?
How do you burn but can you burn like a DVD or what?
No, not at all. There's you can buy for about $100 these days. You can get an external USB drive.
Okay.
But I haven't needed a CD in a few months now. Everything is downloaded or USB or you know, Microsoft released their latest operating system, Windows 8.1. It was a digital download release.
Oh, wow.
Apple just released their new OS X Mavericks as well, only available as an online download. No CDs, not even in store.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I sort of cut you off there. I get that a lot of people don't use CDs or DVDs anymore, but I guess because of what I do, it's still, you know, helpful for me to have like a CD copy of something, like some audio or whatever, even though I do a lot of my transport with a USB stick. But occasionally I just, you know, burn a CD and away I go.
Yeah, more and more these days, everyone's got an MP3 player or an integrated sound system with MP3s in their vehicle, or SoundCloud at work, or, you know, something like that, where they can just stream the music now, or stream the files.
Okay, very good. So sorry to cut you off there. So yeah, so MacBook Air, and then what else would you be sort of looking at if you were looking for, you know, a reasonable laptop?
Reasonable laptop, something for the masses. Personally, someone who's, you know, technologically savvy, who uses computers day in and day out, I'm looking for something with Windows 7.
Okay.
I am not jumping on that Windows 8 bandwagon just yet. It's even for somebody in the know, I'm finding it's rather challenging. The learning curve is just, it's something else right now. So for me, I'm looking at lightweight. I'm looking at 13 to 15 inch laptops. I'm looking at, there's quite a few quality products right now from HP. Just, you know, I was in the shops this past weekend, and that was the ones, the HP Envys, let's say. Those really caught my eye. The price point's really good. It's got an i7 processor, and it comes with 8 gigs of RAM. It seemed to have the total package for me.
And when it comes to, you know, 2014, because we're almost there, what should be on our horizons? Or what do you think is going to be, like, you know, causing some noise in 2014?
I'm thinking everyone wants to get connected in their living room. That's where it's all going. People want internet on their TV. They want their favorite shows on demand, quickly, and in their living room. People don't want to have to go to their computer anymore to stream their favorite show or to watch something from the internet. So what we're going to see what I think at least, is either a newer, bigger, better version of the Google Chromecast, which is a $35 device that you plug into your TV, which wirelessly connects to your router, which allows you to get onto Google, basically, get onto YouTube, or if you're on a PC, it'll even allow you to stream whatever you're having on your computer, on Google, right onto your monitor.
That is cool.
So we're seeing a lot of that. There's a lot of connectivity that we're going to see. Apple has the Apple TV, for instance. It's very similar. It's a wireless set-top device, plugs right into your TV.
Yeah.
An HDMI cable hooks up wirelessly to your internet, and it allows you to run applications like Netflix.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so you can have all of your, you know, stuff for you, stuff for the kids, stuff for whoever, right at your fingertips.
So that's what we should be sort of thinking about in 2014, sort of being ready to rock in your living room and not dealing with having to be on your computer to get what you want on your television.
Yeah, we're finding a lot. Everyone wants to be connected. It's all about mobility now and centralization in the house. So you're either going to have a tablet or a smartphone.
Yeah.
I don't think very many people at all are going to have what we call feature phones, which, you know, they have features. They make calls. They dial. We're not going to see too much of that anymore. The big three carriers are hardly carrying them anymore at all.
Okay.
And we're going to see more and more of these smart TVs. Smart TVs, you know, connect you to your email, connect you to your weather, get you right to Facebook, get you right to YouTube, Netflix, things like that. So that, for me, is going to be probably the number one thing we're going to see a big, 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 you know, push for in the stores this year.
Okay, awesome. Mitch, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate this, and happy holidays.
Thanks, Kel. You too.
That is our tech expert, Mitch Polsky. Again, for more information, you can find him on Facebook at Home Repair. Also, if you're in Canada, in Montreal region, 514-291-8766.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
The holiday season always brings the rush and stress of holiday shopping, but our smart shopping expert, Solmaz McDaddy, is here to talk about how and where to find some great holiday shopping deals. Solmaz, welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you, Kelly.
So, you know, we're sort of really in the throes of the holiday season right now. Is it too late if people haven't started yet, you know, or can they still get some good things happening?
They can definitely get some good things happening. Most of the deals start around this time of year. It usually starts at Black Friday, around Black Friday season, and then it goes on, prolongs, and then we've got the Boxing Day sales. So if you haven't started, don't sweat it. You might face a lot of people in the malls, mm-hmm. But it's definitely still worth it to get out there and get some good deals happening. And there's always shopping online. That's a possibility. The only problem with that, depending on where you live and the shipping delays and all that. So if you look at the website, they'll be able to tell you how many days you need to get your shipment on time to get that Christmas gift to your loved ones.
Okay. Now, what kind of deals or what kinds of deals are you looking for around the holiday season? Like, is it big ticket stuff? Is it like fashion stuff? Or is it like a range of things?
Well, you know, it's definitely a range of things. I mean, all deals are to be had during the holidays. A lot of stores will have like 15% off the entire store. And you know, 15% off, that's good. You know, it's not the deal of the century. But if that specific store doesn't usually have deals on everything, then that is a good deal. Because if I was to buy my dining room table from that store, well, that's a big ticket item. But perhaps that's not the best example because you would need your dining table beforehand. But whatever it is that you had planned on buying, then that's a good deal. But I'd say probably clothing and electronics is like a sure shot, because at this point, if you're buying clothing, you still have a couple of months left to winter, and most of the clothing is on sale. So you're still buying your winter wardrobe at a discounted price. And same thing goes for electronics. Electronics at Boxing Day sales or just around this time of year, they know people will be buying these kinds of big ticket items, so they discount them and usually are able to get a pretty decent deal on those items.
Can we talk about Boxing Day for a minute? Because I remember, like, when I was a teenager, Boxing Day was like a huge thing, and the fact that it was worth it to sort of hustle out there and sort of be in the crowd of people and get the job done. Is it still that same way, Solmaz, or is it overblown because some people can just do this online now?
Yeah, I feel like it is overblown at this point in time with the internet. You could just go online, get your purchases made. So I think the crowds are a lot less intense than they used to be. I must say, I myself haven't been out in the store on Boxing Day in a couple of years, because usually I'll just get it done online. Or if not, I'll go walking downtown, but I don't really head to a mall. But I do think that from what I hear, it's not as crazy as it used to be.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show, our smart shopping expert, Solmaz Magdaddy. You know, can we talk, I guess, a little bit about shopping local versus not shopping local? Is that a good thing to do, Solmaz? Like, can you actually get better deals if you are shopping local, or at like a mom and pop store kind of thing? Or can you still get deals at like the bigger box stores that are, you know, everywhere across the planet?
Well, you know, it depends what you're buying. Definitely the whole shopping local. If you're buying jewelry and you're going to a local Christmas shop, a Christmas fair where the actual artist is there selling you his item, you're probably going to pay more than if you were to buy the similar item that's made in China. That's an obvious thing. But if you're willing to put your money there, and that's something that I totally, fully support 100%, you might still be able to get a deal based on that price. So you're speaking to the actual vendor, mom and pop shop, whoever it is that you're dealing with, and depending on what it is you're buying, you might be able to get a deal. Now, the important thing to ask yourself is, am I happy with the price that I'm paying? And if I'm satisfied with the price that I'm paying and it's made here locally in your city by this person, even if it's not the person that's standing in front of you, you know that they've used local products. In that case, I think it's definitely worth it. And that makes me very happy with getting a deal, even if I got a 10, 15, 20% off, whatever it is that vendor decides to discount. And perhaps they might not even, because maybe the margins are not as high and they can't afford to discount it because, hey, they're running a business and need to feed their families for Christmas too. But bottom line is, are you happy with the price you're paying? And the ethical question is, do I want to buy in a big box store or do I want to buy local?
And do you find, Solmaz, because you're sort of out and about doing this stuff, is it easier or harder to negotiate around Christmas time?
It's harder in the sense that there are a lot of people. Vendors are perhaps irritated. They're tired. They're doing long shifts, long days. But it all depends on what it is that you're asking. Like, why are you asking a deal? Does the item in question have a defect? Is it the last one? Is it a floor model? Those are all still valid questions to ask, and you're most likely to get a deal in those cases. But if it's just negotiating to negotiate, then because you want an extra 10% off, if the item is already discounted, comes down to whether that person can give you the discount and whether they want to give you the discount.
Now, I know we briefly talked about online shopping around this time of the year, and you sort of mentioned, like, you need to be aware of if that item can get to you in time for Christmas. But overall, do you think online shopping around the holidays is a good idea? Like, let's say people would have started a bit early, or even if they are in a bit of a crunch and they even get it a few days after, but is it worth it? Like, I'm sure maybe, you know, Granny won't care if she gets her thing 2 days later. You know what I mean? Necessarily.
Right. Well, it depends if you like shopping or if you don't. I personally like shopping, so I don't mind to head out there. And if there are too many people, then I might decide to leave and go shopping online. I think the web is great to go see what it is that you're looking for. You're able to get the prices, get an idea of what it is that you're going to pay for, compare. And sometimes it's actually cheaper online, and sometimes it's actually cheaper in the store. So if you do like a preliminary shopping online, and then you sort of zero in on what it is that you're going to go and buy, you can either head to the store and actually buy it, have it in hand, and that way you're 100% sure you'll have it for Christmas, or you can decide to just do it online and hope that you get it on time.
What mindset do you want people to be in while they're doing the soul mask? Because I know you and I have talked before about, you know, sort of things to keep in our heads, but what mindset should someone be in, you know, doing the holiday shopping?
The mindset in the sense of the gift of giving, like you're out there to get something.
Well, just how you personally handle the stress of it all. Because I think stress, you know, is so prevalent now, and because it's like there's millions of people out there, and you like my grandmother, for example, now she's, you know, a grandma, so she doesn't want to be out shopping. Like, she's sort of done her deal, so she doesn't even bother because she's like, oh, the people. But, like, you know, there's people that have to shop, you have to get it done. But what mindset would you think that us as individuals need to be in to sort of get through this in a good space?
Well, the mindset, I think, is bottom line, you're giving a gift, right? So of course you want to give, we often want to give that perfect gift, but bottom line is if you don't find the perfect gift, you'll find something that person will like and appreciate. And if you're finding yourself stressing about it, then you should probably like take a breather, because that's not what Christmas and shopping is all about. Even though we know a lot of us get to that point often times around this time of year. And so you just have to like take a breather, stop yourself and think, okay, I'm not finding what I want. I've gone to gazillion different stores. What is it? Let's go back to square one and let's find something that person will definitely like. And then in that mindset, hopefully you can take joy in shopping and take joy in giving that gift and seeing the happy smile that the person will give you once they receive it.
Perfect. Well, Solmaz, you always have great advice. And I think that's a good thing to remember, what you've just said, of sort of being in the right frame of mind and sort of being peaceful, I think, is the gist I got from your comments. So thank you so much, and happy holidays.
Thank you so much, Kelly. Happy holidays to you and your listeners.
That is our smart shopping expert, Solmaz McDaddy. You can learn more about her on our website, kellyalexandershow.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
With the holiday season fast approaching, are you planning on attending a party or hosting one yourself? Either way, our etiquette expert is here with tips on how to survive the holiday stress. Karen Cleveland tackles all things etiquette, from the traditional to the taboo. She truly believes good manners make the world a better place. Karen, welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thanks for having me, Kelly.
So here's the thing. Holidays are pretty much upon us, and I know a lot of people get sort of stressed out and anxious, I guess would be a good word. But what, you know, should a good host or hostess have in mind if they're going to plan to have, you know, 10 people over or 25?
For sure. Absolutely. Host something. It's the best time of the year to entertain. So I recommend, however, keeping it super simple. Hosting with ease is the name of the game.
Okay. And if you are hosting a party, let's say it's, you know, in the middle of the month or whatever, like you have a date planned, you've known for 3 weeks that it's going to be then, you've let people know. Can you get stuff done in advance so that you're not running around like a chicken with their head cut off like 24 hours before it's happening?
Yeah, you should, because, you know, if you don't, the reality is that you're going to be jammed waiting in lines. You're going to get things that are picked over. You're not going to have, you know, your choice picks at the butcher or the florist shop. So absolutely, start well in advance. As soon as you've picked a date, list everything you think you'll need to buy and then set mini little deadlines for getting it all done. So that way you're not doing one big massive shop and you can sort of break it down. And then further, if there's any of the prep work that can be done early, get it all out of the way. So if there's any baking that can be done in advance and it'll keep for a couple days, do that. If there's vegetables that could be chopped or hors d'oeuvres that could be made in advance, by all means, get some of those things out of the way. So when it comes to the day of your party, you can focus on the things that really matter.
That's very cool. And I wanted to ask you as well, sort of like a sidebar. You know, I think some people choose to host and some people choose not to. But in this time of holiday season, I'm assuming people might just drop by. So should you be prepared regardless?
Yeah, totally. Drop-in guests, I think, are a dying tradition. And I really love it, frankly. Like, nothing makes me happier than friends saying, you know, we're in your neighborhood. Can we pop over? I love that. And people don't do it enough. I think we're almost polite to a fault where we don't feel like we can drop in on those near and dear to us. Of course, with, you know, a small amount of warning to make sure that it works for them. But I think it's a lovely way to entertain, and it forces to keep things quite casual. So, and this is an easy way to host too. So stock up on really good coffee and really nice teas. Maybe have some pre-made hors d'oeuvres in the freezer. You can get some shortcuts, or even have some nice little things to put out a little charcuterie platter. Those things keep for a really long time if you had some cured meats, great cheeses, olives. So you can stockpile them so you're not stuck in the kitchen for an hour prepping before guests drop by. There's really smart shortcuts out there that can make it super simple.
If you are hosting, you know, a soiree for 12 or whatever, what are some tips that you would want to sort of put out there to avoid, like, stress on the day? Like, let's say you have done some of the prep work, but some people are just anxious regardless.
Yeah, and I always get a little anxious too when I host, Kelly. I don't think that ever really goes away because we want to make sure that our guests are going to have a great time. So be kind to yourself and absolutely get as much done in advance as you can and stick to what you know. If you're hosting a big party or even a modest dinner party, you don't need to try and dazzle your friends with some sort of Michelin-rated recipe. Relax. Cook what you know that is easy, that you know is a tried-and-true recipe. And again, get all the prep work done in advance. When it comes to stocking up, always buy your wine and your alcohol well in advance. Have your mix prepared. When it comes to decor, keep it super basic. So my shortcut is I always try to get as much as I can of plain, like, single monochromatic blooms. So if it's all white or all red or even just a ton of greenery like magnolia and boxwood. In particular, magnolia and boxwood, they look super chic, but they last for weeks and weeks.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah. And then beyond that, when your guests, you know, before they arrive, imagine what your experience is coming into a party. So I anticipate guests' arrival by having the music on, making sure some wine is pre-poured, I've got foods ready. Having a place for coats and accessories and boots is really important because that's the reality of our gnarly Canadian winters is that people often come dripping in slush or snow. So make your guests feel welcome and have those things sorted out before they arrive.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show, etiquette expert Karen Cleveland. For more tips and ideas, make sure to check out her website, mannersaresexy.com. Karen, what do you do to put people at ease when it comes to your guest list? Like, let's say you have decided to invite some of your work friends mixed with some of your soccer friends or whatever. Like, there can be that awkward moment. How do you deal with that? And is it a good idea to mix friends and coworkers and stuff?
It's a great idea. I love a little cross-pollinization across social groups, for sure. The key is when you introduce people to each other, first of all, make sure you introduce them. Don't leave your guests to their own devices. That's a mark of a really great host, is making sure that their guests all feel at ease. So when you're introduced to people, let them know if maybe there's a common denominator. So, Kelly, I'd like to introduce you to my boss, John. You both were in Italy last year.
Oh, right.
Or, you know, just some sort of common denominator that you're both really into hockey. So something that just sort of eases the social introduction so they have something, you know, to pick up on the conversation so they're not twiddling their thumbs making idle small talk.
I really think that's great because I know I am not a fan of coming into a zone that I don't know. It's weird because I can talk in front of 1,000 people or 500,000 people, no problem. But when it's like six of us, I'm like, what do I do? So
I know we've all been there, that awkward cocktail banter. So to help avoid that, if I'm on the receiving end of that, I always try and give the newspaper that day a quick comb. So I'm up on the day's news. So in case you're stuck for topics of conversation, you can at least default to what's going on in your city or the world, or even just pop culture things, if you've seen a really good movie lately or you're reading a great book. Having a couple of those just light perennial topics up your sleeve can really help ease into the conversation so it's not super awkward.
Now, if you are a guest attending, you know, a party like this and protocol has maybe not been put out there, do you show up with wine? Do you show up with something because it's holiday season? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I always recommend, and I know it sounds like really traditionalist, but never show up empty-handed. At least offer. Your guests might have a really particular menu set in mind, so you don't want to ambush them with a dish that might conflict or overlap with what they're serving, and then they're going to feel compelled to serve it. Mm-hmm. So always offer if there's a dish that you can bring. But beyond that, something really small is great to have for your host. So a great bottle of wine is a perennial favorite, a really beautiful scented candle, something small just to acknowledge the season and their generosity for hosting you.
Okay, I like that idea. You don't want to show up looking like a joke, you know, so that especially if
And if everyone else brings something and you're the only guest who showed up empty-handed, it's going to be so, so awkward.
Should you, Karen, be creative in this, you know, juncture? Like, I know one time, for example, my grandfather, he was so cute. He showed up and he'd made this, like, Christmas log thing, like, where he had, whatever, gone out and got this log and decorated it and had it all sort of Christmassy festive. And I just thought that was super, super cute and super sweet. Can you do something like that? Or is that like, too lame?
That sounds super fun. I think it really depends on how well you know the person. And how intimate your relationship is. If you know them well enough that you know that they would appreciate the gesture and it's not going to clutter up their home, and they would really get that, then absolutely. I think being, you know, as personal as possible is a really lovely touch. But if it's a bit more of a disconnected social relationship, maybe it's a coworker that you don't know too terribly well, mm-hmm. or you're having dinner with your spouse's boss, for example, you don't want anything too quirky or silly. So it's best to sort of play it safe with those perennial hostess gifts.
Now, question about the host and or hostess. If you are that person and you've been running around like a crazy person, you know, and haven't really eaten much that day and all that kind of stuff, how important is it for you to stay hydrated with water and not get sloshed?
It's really important, and I'm really glad that you mentioned that. There's a couple things to consider as a host. So one, like, don't make it harder on yourself than it has to be. So if your guests are going to come at 7, by 6:15, make sure everything's done so you've got a half an hour to chill out so you're not frazzled. Have a glass of water, a glass of wine. I always use that time to touch up my lipstick and maybe run a Swiffer over the floor one last time. Mm-hmm. But really, like, ease into the night. Beyond that, your responsibility as a host is twofold. One, to make sure your guests have a phenomenal time and that they really enjoy themselves. The second is that they get home safely. So if you're overindulging as a host and you're knocking back maybe one too many glasses of Christmas cheer, you're going to be able to less accurately judge your guests. And that's really important from a safety perspective. So always moderate your own alcohol intake so you can really evaluate the situations. And then you'll be in a nice clear headspace to address them if you need to.
Okay. And what is the level, I guess, of responsibility that you should be holding as the host? Because, you know, everyone's supposed to be an adult, quote unquote, but there's always one, it seems, that can't handle their alcohol. So do you need to be ready? Do you need to be prepared to be firm, Karen?
I think so, in those instances where someone's safety is in mind, but being firm doesn't necessarily not mean being discreet, and I think there's a way to do both. No one benefits from being publicly embarrassed, so if you can tackle those awkward situations, you mentioned, Kelly, for example, the instance where someone has had too much to drink and they need to get home safely, or it could be a guest who dumps a glass of red wine on your carpet by mistake, people can get quite embarrassed of their behavior. Whether that evening or a couple days down the line. So discretion is the name of the game. Address it quietly on a one-on-one capacity. You might want to enlist the help of a wingman or a wingwoman to help you out, and address it away from the general party. But absolutely, your responsibility as a host is to make sure your guests get home safely, and whether that means having some cab fare on hand or having your guest room ready for overnight guests on the fly, it's really important.
Something I wanted to ask you as well, which I don't think I've ever asked you before, and this just came to mind, is as a host or hostess, you know, you're hosting this party and you're providing the alcohol and all that kind of stuff. Is it okay to, I don't know, like discreetly start handing out water at like 10 p.m.? Like not like here's your water bottle, but like should you have like a tray of water with like a pitcher of, you know, of water there for people?
Always, all night. In fact, that's really important, Kelly. So ideally, guests can alternate one glass of alcohol with something non-alcoholic. So the more options you have as a host to help facilitate that, great. So when I pour people a drink, I'll often offer if they'd like a glass of water or sparkling water with it. And you can do fun things like freeze some cranberries so they look super pretty in the glass, so it feels very festive. But having non-alcoholic options constantly on the flow is great.
Okay. I thought that's a good plan. And when it comes to wrapping up the night, I think, is it that if you've chosen to host a party, you have to be prepared for it to go to either 11 p.m. or 3 a.m.?
That's true. And you never know, depending on the crowd. Your neighbors might have some other thoughts on that, however. Mm-hmm. But if you're really feeling like you're ready to wind the night down, a good cue, depending on your social crowd, is you can put a pot of coffee on.
Okay.
Or if you want to be super stealth, is you can enlist the help of a friend to discreetly say, you know, hey, we're going to move the party over to this bar down the street, for example.
Okay.
Or to get them to not so subtly announce that it's been fabulous night, but they're ready to call it an evening. They're going to get their coat and say their goodnights.
Okay.
Typically, you know, there's a bit of crowd things that happen there. Like if people see a couple people leave, it often sends a cue to the rest of the group that it might be winding down.
Okay. What happens though, Karen, if you have that one loser that doesn't go? Like, because that's my fear sometimes for wanting to have like a party, because I'm not like one who wants to be up till 2 a.m. in the morning. And I know if you are doing it, you have to, you know, you have to take the responsibility. Well, you know, there might be people. But that leads me, I guess, to another question as well, is like, do you avoid inviting certain people if you know that A, they're going to probably get sloshed and be annoying, or they, like, you know, they're loud and brash and you don't want them there. But like, let's say that's part of your coworker family. Like, that could be awkward.
It really could. And I think there's nothing awkward than people feeling excluded. So yeah, you might have to suck it up and entertain someone who you normally wouldn't choose to spend an evening with. But mm-hmm. you know, we've all like, we need to stop being so precious, I think.
Okay.
The real spirit of the holidays and of entertaining is to get everyone together and have a good time. So okay. if that means that one of the 30 people that's over for, you know, an open house, or one of the 10 people you're hosting for dinner isn't your favorite person on the planet, mm-hmm. well, whatever. I think that's the price of doing business and the price of hosting. But I think that that would be a safer route to go, to invite them and just sort of suck it up,
okay.
rather than make them feel purposefully excluded. That's pretty, I think we've all been on the other receiving end of that and know how awful it feels.
Awesome. I'm glad you clarified that, because I know it's a touchy subject, and I think, yeah, I think a lot of people have a hard decision, you know, what to do. So I think it's probably good that you said, you know, just go for it and then deal with it.
I think so too. And as well, like, same thing with hosting or getting together with family. Like, it's, the holidays can be a really stressful, emotionally charged time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to please everyone. And in fact, you probably won't please everyone. So all you can do is your very best without making yourself crazy in the process, you know?
Awesome. Karen, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it, and happy holidays.
Kelly, always a pleasure. Happy holidays.
That is etiquette expert Karen Cleveland. Make sure to check out her website, mannersaresexy.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Dating during the holidays can be a bit tricky, especially if it's a new relationship. Is this the most appropriate time to meet the family? What events should or shouldn't you invite your new partner to? Our relationship coach, Frank Kermit, joins us to talk about some do's and don'ts during the holiday season. Frank, thanks again for hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Kelly, I can't wait to come back every time I leave.
Great. I'm happy to have you, especially because this one seems like a really important one because, and I'm sure there's a lot going on, but just, you know, I can sort of just picture this when it comes to holidays. Holidays can either be really good or bad, depending on, I think, what your experience has been as a child or even an adult. And, you know, if it has been good, I think there's lots of romantic notions about it just because it's, you know, it's warm and bright and colorful and you're with your family and all that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of people feel extra lovey-dovey, if you will. So
mm-hmm.
at what point in a relationship do you think it's time for your partner to meet the family, especially if it is around the holiday season?
One of the things about the holidays is that sometimes it brings about situations that is a little too soon before the couple's actually ready. People figure, well, it's a holiday party. I'm going to obviously bring my partner, but we haven't really figured out if we're a couple yet, but I'll just bring my partner with me because it feels silly to go without my partner. Then they show up at a party and somebody says, oh, are you two together? And once you're put on the spot, Some people look at each other and say, well, I don't know about you. Well, okay, shall we say? I don't know. But and everybody just says, yeah, we are, because they don't want to get into the whole, well, we are together, but we're still getting to know each other. And nobody wants to get into those kind of details.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They really don't. I remember that happened to me once upon a time. I showed up with a girl. It was a wedding. She brought me there as a date. It's one of the first dates we were on. And somebody just looks at us during the meal where everybody else was listening in and said, oh, are the two of you a couple? Oh. I didn't know what to say. I looked at the girl and I says, well? And she looks at me and says, I don't know. So I just looked back at the person who was asking the question, and I responded with a loud, okay, we're a couple.
Nice.
And everybody started laughing, and that's how we officially became a couple. But it wasn't something that we had discussed beforehand. It was more we sort of just fell into it. Why? There was a holiday, there was an event, we showed up, and we got designated the couple. And as nice as that can be, as funny as it can be in retrospect, that's not the way, that it's not the best way for a couple to finally be established.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling truly is that when you start dating somebody new during the holiday season, bringing that person over to a family function over the holidays, whether you like it or not, you're setting up a sign. You are sending out a signal to everybody who's met you and said, this over here is not just a friend. This over here is someone that either is a significant other or is about to become a significant other.
Okay. Is there more pressure, Frank, you know, bringing someone over around the holiday season? Like, is it, you know, immediate, like you said, you're a couple, or even the family liking or not liking this person?
Absolutely. And it is a very significant thing. I've actually had to counsel people who come in and say, you know, I go over with my girlfriend and I'm not really, you know, thinking about us getting married. And her family member took me aside and said, look, what's your intention here? And I just felt so insulted. Like, who is this person to tell me? And I said, stop. You are in that person's house. You are involving yourself into that person's family dynamic. They have every right to ask what your intentions are. Because if you don't have any long-term intentions with the person you're seeing, then darn it, you should not be there. It is inappropriate. And there is, I mean, I've had these discussions with clients. I have come up with a word. There is a word for somebody who thinks that going over to a family function and thinking that it's not a significant thing, I got a word for that.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Right.
Okay, you're being stupid. If you are going over to a family function and you are either bringing along somebody new that you're seeing or you are the partner that's being invited along, it is a significant symbol. You are saying, not only do I like the person that I'm dating, I am checking out, I am putting out feelers. I want to see whether or not I want to be a part of this family. That's why you're going. You're not just going because, well, it's Saturday and we're supposed to be together and this event happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can meet up with that person after the event. You don't have to mingle with the family unless you are sending the message you want to be a part of that family.
Okay. And Frank, in and amongst all of this, what happens if, you know, you are in a relatively new situation, like maybe you started dating in November, you know, or whatever, so it's not long. How do you handle, like, if you are invited to a family function, is it appropriate for you and said new person in your life to exchange gifts at all? And if so, do you do it in front of the family?
You do not do it in front of the family. If you've just started seeing each other and you're not part of the family function, you can exchange gifts privately.
Mm-hmm.
The gift should be appropriate to the level of relationship that you're in. Now, if the two of you are simply friends with benefits, where the two of you are getting together as friends, having sex, but there is no interest in a potential long-term future, a nice thought, a card even is enough, something small or something specific to the person that the two of you, you know, may enjoy together at some point, that's fine. If you are going to be more serious, then you have to consider the level of commitment the two of you have. If you're at the point where you're thinking, this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with,
mm-hmm.
then by all means suggest, you know, this is, we're really getting serious here. How would you feel about meeting the family? And if the other person declines, if one of you is saying, I'm really serious, I'm ready to go, come meet my family, and the other person is saying, no, 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 you should take that as a sign that you're not on the same wavelength.
Right. Yep. Yep. I can see that. And I wanted to ask you this as well, and I'm going to use Christmas Day as the generic holiday, if you will, depending on what religion you're at. Obviously, I know it can change depending, you know, which day is of importance for you. But if it is Christmas Day, is it appropriate for you to invite said person to Christmas Day facilities with your family or festivities with your family? Because, like, it's one thing if you're coming to a holiday party on December 18th, but, like, if it's Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, what do you do?
Only if you are planning to be with that person in the future. Only if you're planning or wanting to see if you can be a member of that person's family. That's when you get to spend Christmas Day. Assuming that person is spending Christmas Day with their family and you want to tag along, it's got to be with the understanding you're doing it for the strict purposes of seeing if you can gel with their family. If you have no interest in being a member of that family, or if you at this point, we just started seeing each other, I really don't know, I'm not sure where this is going, then you can always see each other after the family festivities are done.
Okay.
But you don't have to involve yourself there.
This is a big question that I'm excited to ask you. If you are going to a family function that is not your family, so it's your, you know, soon-to-be partner or partner's family, Frank, how do you deal with gifts? Like, do you bring some wine or dessert to the family function? Like, how? Because I'm assuming you want to make, you know, you want to be a decent, good impression person, especially if you're getting a free meal out of it.
I would normally suggest that if it's for a meal, bring something to participate with at the meal. Preferably something you've made. If it's something you've purchased, it should be something that there's enough for everybody to take part in.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something cultural, maybe you are wanting to present something of your own cultural background to this new family. That's always a nice thought. It's a nice personal touch. And in terms of giving gifts to everybody, the one suggestion I've always had is that if you are going to be present during a big gift exchange, which can happen, you show up to be part of the, you know, because you're there to meet the family and they're doing a big gift exchange and there you are, schmo, sitting on the couch, not participating. During the holiday times, if you're going to be in that position, you go buy a box of cards. And in every card, you sign your name and you stick a $1 or 50 cent lottery ticket in it.
Okay.
And you just go around and you give, say, okay, well, it's my turn to give out gifts, and you give everybody a lottery ticket. And if everybody loses, it's the thought that counts. And if somebody wins, maybe you'll get 10%.
Very good. Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show, our relationship coach, Frank Kermit. For more information on relationships, tips, all that sort of good stuff, check out his website, friendstoloversformula.com. Frank, what advice would you give to those people who are, you know, meeting the family potentially for the first time and being around the holiday season?
Just understand that they're just as nervous about it as you are. Okay? They're just as nervous because they understand if something bad happens at this event, it'll be the one event of, do you remember when so-and-so showed up to our Christmas or a holiday party? Do you remember that? Uh-huh. They're just as nervous as you are. You have to remember that you are the outsider coming into this family. And they just want to make sure that you're not going to hurt somebody that they love. They want to make sure that you are not a threat to what they believe to be the sanctity of their family. However right or wrong they may be, sometimes they may be a little bit more aggressive with you. They may say things that, you know, that you can't condone, but you can understand, such as, look, I'm inviting you into my home, but if you mistreat so-and-so who brought you here, that's not going to sit well with us. And they might use more harsh language.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand that they are looking to, as open as they want to be, as open as they need to be, they also have to look after their own and protect who they love. So that doesn't mean that you should allow yourself to be abused mm-hmm. when you go over, but you do have to be mindful that if you want to be treated with respect, you must show respect. They're nervous for different reasons than you are. You're going in there hoping that you are going to be accepted, and at the very least, you're going to be liked and get along. They're worried that you coming in means that maybe you're the wrong person for the one they care about, and that you can set that person's life on a horrible tangent. So be mindful of that. They're worried just like you are. They're nervous just like you are, but for different reasons.
I also wanted to ask you, and it's something I would hope that would never happen to anyone that is listening. But again, let's say, you know, you're meeting the family, not your family, and you're relatively new in this, so you don't really know the history of creepy Uncle Drunk Joe or, you know, Hansy Pansy Aunt Anne. What happens if they pull something, you know, while you're at one of these functions and it's like, you know, this is such a new situation for you?
Don't be overly reactive. Take your partner aside as soon as you can. Relay the incident and simply ask, is this something that's normal here? Because the fact is, your partner may be terrified of telling you the truth. Your partner may say, oh, I don't want to tell you about all the crazy things my family might do because I don't want to scare you off. I don't want you to leave. Now, this, as a relationship coach, I'm coming in here and saying, okay, look, this is exactly what you should have told your partner before inviting that person over. Look, I'm inviting you over, but here's what you need to know. You got to know that this person always drinks too much, and this person asks very inappropriate questions, and at least give them a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't the way your relatives are going to act in an embarrassing manner. It's whether or not you prepared your partner for it.
Okay.
And if something like that happens, you go to your partner and you say, listen, this just happened. You know, is this typical behavior? Is there a way to interpret this? And if the behavior continues to get out of hand in a way that you're not comfortable with, you can always excuse yourself and say, look, I really appreciate the invitation, but I have to go. Again, that's only in super extreme cases where the behavior of a relative may be completely out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, the issue that I would be looking at is, if you have a crazy relative who's going to embarrass you or mistreat whoever it is you bring home, and you didn't warn your partner, that's the red flag, not the crazy relative. Your inability to be able to be honest with your partner to protect him or her before going over, that's the thing that you need to discuss with your partner, and the red flag that makes you say, maybe I shouldn't be with this person anymore.
Yep, that is a very good point. And I hope a lot of people, way to go, Frank. I hope people, you know, put that in their frame of mind. And before I let you bounce, what, you know, main point do you want to leave us with? Because again, I visualize it. I know how holidays feel, and it's just, you know, again, hopefully it's a good experience for most people, but it's just like, I feel like there's so much emotion and so much like lovey-dovey going on that it's easy to either be in denial or not be as aware as you should be. So what do you want people to keep in mind?
Okay. Final parting thought is that there's a difference between hoping it's going to be an excellent holiday and expecting it's going to be an excellent holiday. If you go in with unreasonable expectations that I'm going to bring my partner to meet my family and everything is going to go perfect and everybody's going to be on this best behavior and no one is going to misbehave and everything is going to be fine, and people who normally misbehave or act in a way that embarrasses me, they're not going to do that this time, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be wonderful, and everybody's going to get along, and you have all these ridiculously unreasonable, unrealistic expectations, well, you're setting yourself up for failure. That extra pressure is going to get to you, and there's no way that, no matter what happens, there's no way that that expectation is going to be met, so you're setting yourself up for a very, very sad evening. If, however, you say, look, I really hope it's going to work out, but whatever happens, happens. I'll be accepting of what happens. Let's just get through this and try to enjoy our night while, you know, at different parts of it. And if you take that attitude towards it, you got a better shot of coming out of it saying, you know, that was actually a really nice holiday, and it was a really great opportunity for the family to meet.
Excellent, Frank. Thank you, as always. This was great.
It was really a lot of fun, Kelly. Keep me in mind for the new year.
You got it. That was our relationship coach, Frank Kermit. Again, for more information, make sure to check out his website, friendstoloversformula.com.
KellyAlexanderShow.com.
A big thank you going out to my guests this week, Mitch Polsky, Solmaz McDaddy, Patrick Charles, Karen Cleveland, Parmal Gahunia, and of course, Frank Kermit. I want to leave you with your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time coming from G. Linder. Never confuse people who are always around you with people who are always there for you. Thanks so much for hanging out on the show. We always appreciate it. Please check out our social media, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/KellyAlexanderShow. Of course, on Twitter, @KAlexanderShow, and our Facebook page, Kelly Alexander Show. Any comments or questions, Kelly@KellyAlexanderShow.com. Have an awesome week. You and I'll chat soon.